Hi, welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm actually solo today because my co-host is in Europe. So welcome to the next podcast entitled A Three-Step Prison Break. A Three-Step Prison Break. We're going to be exploring five different lives from the New Testament that were held in bondage. And perhaps there's a piece of your story that you will be able to entwine with theirs, as well as taking their lead in terms of how they broke free from the prison that they found themselves in. Let's start in prayer and see where the Holy Spirit guides us today. Dear Lord, too often we experience identity theft that results in behavior and emotions that do not make you recognizable in this world. Forgive us, Lord, for following all of the shiny objects that happen to pop up in our lives, and they end up imprisoning us in this vicious cycle of asserting our will over your will, our thoughts over the Holy Scriptures, and our emotions over the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control that gives us access to the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Break us free, dear Lord, from the sin that so easily entangles us and the yoke of slavery that restricts us in our small cocoon of fear, doubt, and worry. Lord, we want to fly with you to the places you have prepared for us to go. Override our ego, just as you did for Peter, Paul, Zacchaeus, Mary and Thomas, and set us free from the prison of self. I, me, my, what I think, what I want, what I need. Give us that access to freedom, Lord. Bless the words of my mouth and my heart. If there's anything that you would like to override and say through me to touch a listener today, may it be so. In your most precious name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome to Edge Got In Podcast Week 23, a three-step prison break. Just for a recap, in Podcast 22, entitled Jesus Was Interruptible. Are you? You learned the power of being interruptible in your thought life as well as your actions as you reflected the Gospel of Luke and the numerous times that Jesus was interrupted or allowed himself to be interrupted to accomplish God's work and ministry on earth. In today's podcast, a three-step prison break, we're going to explore a three-step experience and process of breaking out of behavior that compromises the person God is calling you to be. Jesus was the ultimate ERR doctor. As you will see, as we reflect on the lives of five people, as I mentioned, who were imprisoned by their lifestyle and or doubt, Peter, Mary, Zacchaeus, Thomas, and Paul, and the freedom they gained as a result of an encounter, that's the E part, with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which led to repentance, that's the R, and a resurrection, ERR, of purpose and identity. They actually experienced a break out of the cocoon of worldly restrictions and embraced the one who died to give them the ability to soar. So perhaps you're coming to this podcast today bringing your own cocoon, your own restrictions in life. Perhaps it's in the area of self-doubt. Perhaps it's in the area of spilling out of yourself, identity theft. We've talked about identity theft in other podcasts. Perhaps you have given power to circumstance, outcome, lack of outcome or response to identify your worth, value, and capability. Oftentimes, we begin our day with good intention. Dear God, we give this day to you. We give you permission to interrupt us at any time that we start to wander off and follow those shiny objects, override us. And then everything's great until we run into a human being and it knocks us out of our game, our desire to make God recognizable. Those are those little cocoons that we spill out of ourselves, and God is constantly calling us to come back inside the castle, as St. Teresa of Avila speaks about. Pull up that drawbridge, reconnect to God, rather than spilling out of yourself, allowing your emotions to guide you and your expressions, rather than having emotional intelligence, which is another four-part podcast that we offer at Edge God In. Being aware of your emotions, managing your emotions, being aware of the emotions of others, and managing the emotions of others through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that leads to victory. So the caterpillar has the DNA of a butterfly. How cool is that? The caterpillar actually has the DNA of a butterfly, yet the predators of the world too often snatch it up before it actually has the opportunity to transform and embrace its ability to fly. Metaphorically speaking, just taking that image of the fact that a caterpillar has the DNA of a butterfly sometimes doesn't even get the opportunity to reach its full potential. Does that sound familiar? You, me, we all have the DNA of God, as you are created in the image and likeness of God. We have the DNA of God. And yet too often, we stay stuck in the cocoon. We have the ability to soar through the storms of life. All things are possible for you, for me, when it comes to mastering our mind for transformation and revival. Jesus meets you and escorts you back into revival as you break down the interior dams that hold back the streams of life, giving living water flowing within you out into the world. So what's your cocoon today? Just pause and think about that for a moment. What is your cocoon? The restrictions that hold you back from running and not growing weary, walking and not fainting in the Lord. It's worth our examination and our pause in life to truly drop into that question. What's my cocoon? What is holding me back from experiencing the peace that passes all human understanding? What is holding me back from experiencing the freedom that Christ died to give me, to experience the ability to maintain inner calm no matter what is going on outside of me, to be able to get off the stage of drama and not cast myself as a key role in the drama of other people or create my own drama that affects the words that I speak? By our words, we will be condemned or freed. Perhaps it's your words that have made up your cocoon and restricting you from the freedom that Christ died to give you. Too often we play small. We have the lack and scarcity thinking. And similar to Thomas's doubt that actually blocked his ability to trust and believe, we have been blinded by the trickery of smoke and mirrors that Satan uses to distract us from the way out of our slavery to fear, doubt, and worry, just as Thomas was. He was restricted. We're going to learn a little bit more about that as we take a closer look at Thomas's encounter, as well as his cocoon of doubt. He was in a cocoon of doubt, and Jesus broke right through that. Similar to Peter's outbursts of anger and frustration, we often get spun into the cocoon of ego. Sound familiar to anybody out there? The cocoon of ego, edging God out of our perspectives, our conclusions, our plans. We'll go ahead and make our plans and then ask God to bless them, forgetting that the one who calls us is faithful. He will provide a way out of our cocoon, just as he did for Peter when he filled his empty net with fish. Jesus moved Peter beyond his frustrations to the ultimate goal, to set him free from the restriction of his desires and unmet needs. The frustration of not getting the catch that you've cast your net to catch. Anger often rears its ugly head in the behavior of stonewalling, defensive behavior, unkind words toward others and yourself. Keep watch over your thoughts and your mouth. Frustration is fueled by our need to be right, liked, and understood, and chains us in the prison of the shadow side of your positionality and false beliefs. Have you had enough of this? This is exhausting, rising and falling, depending upon the exterior outcomes or opinions and positionality of people around us. These are predators in life, you guys. What are the predators that are threatening your ability to fly in Christ's strength and God's will for your life? What are your predators that are snatching you up as you're restricted in your cocoon, yet you have the DNA of God to fly? Let's reflect on this for a moment. Come with me on this. Imagine a triangle. And if you're in a position to take a piece of paper, write this down. Draw a triangle. At the top of the triangle, you have your will. The left corner of the triangle represents your mind. The lower right corner of the triangle represents your emotions. So you have your will at the top, your mind, lower left, and your emotions, lower right. Your will directly influences your mind, your thoughts, perceptions, conclusions, assumptions, and your beliefs, and has a direct impact on your emotions, what you feel, happy, sad, frustrated, angry, all of which create your attitude. An emotion is simply your body's response to your thought life. Your attitude is your closest friend, or it's your worst enemy, and you get to choose it. You might push back a little bit on that. How the heck do I choose my attitude? It just happens. Yes, you speak the truth. It actually happens in 125 thousandths of a second. That's how quickly, when you see something as a threat outside of you, that your, it's referred to the HPA axis, hypothalamus pituitary adrenal glands, you actually respond that quickly. Your body responds that quickly when you have determined you're threatened by what someone else is saying, and that triggers a positionality within you to have to defend. It happens so fast that your will, your mind, and your emotions create your attitude in life. And your attitude is your closest friend or worst enemy, and you actually get to choose it when you step back between what happens outside of you and your choice of response to it. This quick reactive behavior, this goes in line with the verse that says, "Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Rise up. Your salvation is drawing near." We have fallen asleep in our own positionality, our need to be right, liked, and understood. And as a result, we are trapped in our cocoon. We are literally bobbling about like an unchained buoy in the ocean, here and there, depending on what's going on outside of us. Five prominent players, as I mentioned, from the New Testament were all trapped in the cocoon of worldly strongholds. These are strongholds: hunger for power, popularity, passion, and position. Peter, Zacchaeus, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, and Paul, they forgot they had wings to fly. Jesus, being the prison freeing, chain breaking, there's a song about that. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Jesus is the prison freeing, chain breaker, cocoon freer, savior that meets all of these people in the New Testament. He met them all in the restricted state of being, and he sets them free. Once they encountered the humble love of Christ, they relinquish control over their own will and receive the key that sets them free, surrendering their will over to God's will. If you have a pen, quickly jot down Galatians 2:20. Let's take a closer look here with the remaining time that we have. Let's take a look at Peter, Luke 5:1 through 11, Peter's encounter with Jesus. So let's take just a kind of a quick personality assessment of Peter. He is extremely self-motivated. Any type A human beings out there, if you've ever taken the DISC, this would be oftentimes a strong dominant or even a strong conscientious person, that you have that type A personality. Well, Peter had it. He had that going on. He's a self-motivator entrepreneur, and he is extremely dedicated to revenue-producing behaviors, which I can highly identify with. So perhaps we have some type A's out there. However, when his labor does not produce the desired outcome, come with me on this. His labor, his efforts are not producing the desired outcome. He is left wallowing in the cocoon of self-pity, victimization, frustration, and some serious anger management issues. Can you relate to this? This is Peter. When was a time when you cast your net out into the world only to pull up an empty net? Jesus crashed that party. Ignoring Peter's victimization and pity party, he invited him to jump back into his boat. I didn't catch anything. I've been fishing all night long. Perhaps you've said, hey, I've been working so hard and I have nothing to show for it. So Peter encounters Jesus, and Jesus says, get back in the boat. This is the difference. This time, as Peter cast his net, this is monumental. Pause for a moment and come close to this. The difference this time, as Peter cast his net, rather than by his own will and sheer determination to produce a desired outcome, Peter was now accompanied by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus was in the boat and initiated the catch and the outcome. And it was more than Peter could have imagined. More than Peter could have imagined. Running over, flowing into your lap, as Jesus said. When Jesus is in the house, you better hold on, man, because it is an abundance that starts to hit beyond what I can see, ear can hear, and heart can truly comprehend, because it is the things that can't be captured by the five senses that lead to what we truly, truly want: internal peace, a sense of value and purpose. Reflect on a time in your life when you came out of a situation after giving it your all. Perhaps you felt exhausted, defeated in this situation. And then Shazam, you encountered Jesus. What was the outcome as a result of your encounter with Jesus in the midst of your exhaustion? How did you repent from self-focus, from the I-centered will? What did you resurrect? For example, Peter resurrected a faith-filled attitude of trust as he laid down and surrendered to Jesus as he proclaimed, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Peter's encounter with Jesus resulted in repentance from self-focused efforts. This is the key as we pause and reflect on Peter's prison break. He encountered Jesus. That's the first step, is the encounter. He allowed himself to be present to Jesus' invitation to enter his boat. What is your boat? And is Jesus on it? Peter's encounter with Jesus resulted in repentance from self-focused efforts that had their foundation on ego. I want this outcome for my advancement, and I didn't get what I wanted, so I am then imprisoned in the cocoon of frustration. Invite Jesus into your boat. Let's move on to Zacchaeus. Luke 19, 1 through 9. And just for those of you who are looking for the scripture reference of Peter's encounter with Jesus, when he had been fishing all night and Jesus said, hop back in, here we go. That's Luke 5, 1 through 11. And so now we're moving on to another character and this person's prison break out of the cocoon. Luke 19, 1 through 9. Come with me on this. Zacchaeus. One of my favorite characters in the New Testament, because I can relate to him. Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus. He had gumption. This is the key trait that Zacchaeus had going on for him. This is his character trait. He was shrewd. He was, the definition of gumption is a shrewd or spirited initiative and resourcefulness. Zacchaeus was spirited, and he was resourceful. Hey, I'm not as tall as these other people, so I got to find a way so that I can see Jesus, which is my goal. He wanted to see him. He was in the midst of the crowd. So what does he do? He looks for the nearest tree. He climbs up. How many of you are pretty resourceful? You're faced with a restriction and you start looking around right away. And that's a good response to restriction in life. Rather than be overcome, you step up to overcome by looking at what resources you have available. What resources do you need to gather to yourself? This was Zacchaeus. As a result, Jesus paused. He caught his attention. He recognized his gumption. And that gumption overcame a physical limitation. He stopped, he saw him, he entered his house, ate at his table with his friends, won his heart over to repentance and a resurrected life. Zacchaeus was struck in the cocoon of moral power and possessions that damaged his moral compass. The love and acceptance of Jesus Christ, Jesus entered his world. And Zacchaeus allowed it again. So here we're seeing a pattern, the encounter. In spite of the frustration and the restriction of the cocoon, Peter invited Jesus into the boat. In spite of any past sin or restriction and self-judgment and lack of worth and value that Zacchaeus felt behind closed doors, he invited Jesus into his house to eat at his table with his friends. The love and acceptance from Jesus in the midst of his sinful, small, restricted, negative behaviors resulted in his prison break and a resurrected life. So he encountered Jesus. Jesus entered his house. It doesn't record that Jesus was saying a lot of stuff. He just was present in Zacchaeus's world in love. And it was that loving presence that convicted Zacchaeus's heart to stand up and begin again and step into a new space of a resurrected life. He encountered him. He repented. He stood up. This day, I will literally make it right. So consider your life. This day, what would you stand up and declare? From now on, I choose to occupy this space moving forward. I'm going to expand this higher character in my life. I'm going to unzip the cloak of past below-the-line behaviors in my life. And I'm going to begin again with Christ at the center of my life. And I'm going to move forward from this resurrected position. And as a result of a resurrected encounter, a piece of yourself that gets resurrected as a result of encounter with Christ, you actually regain, you restore. Something is restored. For Zacchaeus, his identity was restored from below-the-line behaviors to above-the-line behaviors. For Peter, his vision was restored for his purpose. From now on, you're going to be fishermen of men. He stepped into the ministry. There is always something that is restored as a result of an encounter and a resurrection experience with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm going to end this particular podcast. This is going to be a two-part podcast just to honor your time. We'll pick up the second half of this podcast and reflect on Mary Magdalene's cocoon break. We'll also reflect upon Paul's prison break, one of my favorites, as well as Thomas's prison break. To end today's journal, I'm just going to read a little excerpt from my first book, Hearing His Whisper. With every storm Jesus comes to. This was a journal entry that I made back in May 20th, 2001. This is before I actually entered my storm of going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. This was a journal entry. And this is my reflection to Jesus. I used to think that I knew the perfect way to get to you, Lord. I found myself judging others if they went another way. I'm starting to see that every human being has something to teach me. Each soul reveals new insight into you and me. Show me how to touch every soul with love. And this was the response that I got from Jesus. You cannot force yourself into the human heart. The hearts of my children are won over through unconditional love that is patiently poured out over time into their souls. To do this, you must first enter into their experiences. What moves their heart? No matter how worldly it may seem to eyes that have been enlightened to heavenly things, in order to win the confidence of man's heart, you must first step into his or her world. Then you earn the right to speak the truth in love. And this person will listen because you have loved them where they are at without judgment. Your love for them will increase within their heart the desire to do what is right in God's eyes. Because God is love, he moves souls into his heart through love alone. Take Zacchaeus, for example, one soul living in sin. I went to his house, ate his food at his table with his friends. I entered into his life experience with great love and acceptance. My love entered into his life. This love exposed the deeds, the dark deeds of his soul, thereby leading him to repentance and reconciliation and a resurrected life and purpose. You must do the same to win hearts for me. It is pride and ego that keep you from stepping into the lives of those who are entranced by the things of the world. Do I not enter into your worldly experiences? Is it not my great love and mercy, in spite of your acts of disobedience, that continue to draw your heart into mine? Do the same for one another. Love first, then lead. Follow my example. Meet everyone on the road, just as the father ran to meet the prodigal son. Go and meet others. Love them. Take time to listen and experience their joys and sorrows, all with great love and mercy. And in time, you will earn the right to speak the truth in love. Through love and mercy, their eyes will be open to the condition of their soul, just as yours is. Do not forget the depths from which you were saved, so that pride will not draw you away from my love. It is the desire that I see, the desire always over the actions. Offer the same grace to the souls around you. See others for what they desire to be, apart from all the pain that causes them to act out, just as I continue to see you. And that's the end of the excerpt from Hearing His Whisper, my first book, Hearing His Whisper. It's conversations between Jesus and myself as I went through several years of life, just common everyday frustrations, as well as going through two of life's top stressors at the same time, advanced cancer and divorce. So this concludes for a moment, a pause in the first section of the three-step prison break. We have examined two characters from the New Testament, Peter's experience and cocoon break, as well as Zacchaeus's prison break. The three-step prison break includes the encounter with Christ that leads to the repentance that results in a resurrected life of purpose. And as I mentioned, there is a restoration that happens. There is something that is restored as a result of the resurrected experience with Christ. So I invite you today to pause, reflect on this particular study and how it relates to your life. Perhaps ask yourself a few questions. What is the cocoon that is restricting me in my own life? What is the cocoon that has isolated me from a true encounter with Christ, from inviting him into my boat, allowing him to steer my boat, to guide me into uncharted waters, to have him be a part of my thoughts, my words, my deeds on a day in and day out basis? Enjoy exploring more of this study. There'll be the PDF that goes along with this particular podcast. Feel free to download the PDF. You can use it for your own quiet time with the Lord or to lead small group Bible studies as well. And enjoy your gift of life. And we'll end in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to begin again. Grant us the grace of the pause. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to show us where we are trapped. What is my cocoon? What is holding me back from going into uncharted waters, from living a life set on fire by you? Too often I am my own ambassador, making my appeal for me, my positionality, what I think, what I want, what I need, what I feel. I am willing this day to give you permission to protect the process of creating the wings that are a part of my DNA to fly, to soar in you, to accomplish your purposes for my life, where my greatest joy is resurrected and profound peace is resurrected as a result of living for you and not for me. Have your way with me, dear God. Apart from you, I am nothing, and with you, all things are possible. Grant me the grace to make you recognizable, and help me, Lord, to learn from this cocoon experience in my life what needs to be released, what needs to be tossed into your lap, so that I can resurrect the calling to be your ambassador, to remember that I am your child and you are making your appeal through me for your purposes. This is the time to rise up. Grant me the grace to be a part of it, God. I don't want you to pass me by. I'm climbing that tree, and I desire to see you and invite you into my house. Restore to me the vision you restored to Zacchaeus and Peter. I pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give them heaven today. Go forth and give them heaven. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine through you and to use your words, thoughts, deeds, and actions as an ambassador for Christ in this world. I look forward to our next session, which we will continue finishing up the three-step prison break and explore a few more lives from the New Testament and how they broke free as a result of their encounter of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Enjoy your gift of life today, and I look forward to our next podcast at edgegodin.com. God bless you today.